Well, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll stand for the reading of God's Word in love and respect for the Word of God. If you are able, physically. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 through 6. I'll read the odd verses. You can read the even verses with me out loud. We'll read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 6. I'll begin in verse 1, and you can join me in verse 2, and then 4, and also in verse 6. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, we did read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and boy, I mean, honestly and truly, every passage of Scripture is just, you could go 500 different directions with things in application and in comment and in just talking about different aspects of each verse of the Bible. But for sake of time and for sake of sanity and for sake of understanding, we got to just focus on one thing, right? So look at verse 5. It says, Paul says here, he says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. You know, that is really the focus of what preaching should be. And today, simply, the title of the message is Preaching Christ. Preaching Christ. You know, it ought to be that our life is all about Christ. It ought to be that our church is all about Christ. It ought to be that the whole purpose of things should be Christ, because he is the purpose. He is the thing that we ought to be focused on. In the recent Sundays, I've talked to you about our theme, Each One, Reach One in 2021. Okay, and clever little things like that they're for a purpose, so that you'll remember them. Okay, not so you think I'm clever. It's so that you'll remember them. Okay. And so that is a point. We've talked about the value of the each one. There's got to be someone on the side of truth, on the side of right, on the side of God and Christ and salvation and the Word of God and those things, in order to have a foundation from which to reach down. If I get in the mud with them, I'm going to be muddy. I might sink in there too. You know, you know about quicksand. It's not going to help if you're in the quicksand and they're in the quicksand. It's not going to help anybody. So you've got to have a solid foundation and reach out to pull them to safety. And so we have a value, the each one. And then we've talked about reaching people and what it takes to reach people and what it really means to reach someone. And that is what we have. And we talked about last week, we talked about doubtless. Just things that are without question. And we have those things to give to those that we're trying to reach. Doubtless things. And today, to kind of help with this thought, and to just build this within you, about reaching people is preaching Christ. Preaching Christ. Hey, can I tell you something? Jesus is enough. He's enough. I mean, just the very mention of his name
is enough. Now, it's enough to make some people run away. But it's enough to make some people stand up and listen. Sit up and listen. Pay attention. What'd you say? Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. What was that? Yeah. My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we have to preach Christ. Paul said that we preach not ourselves. Listen, when we go out and we go out in our community and hand out gospel tracts, we're not saying, oh, yeah, Lighthouse Baptist Church saves people. No, Jesus saves. It's about Jesus. It's about His name. That name above all names. And we ought to go forth and preach Christ. Now let's look in our Bibles. Go over to Acts chapter 10. What do we say about Christ? What do we tell people about our Savior? Well, let's look to Scripture and see what preaching Christ is about. Look at Acts chapter 10 and go to verse 34. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. This is a great way to start if you're going to preach Christ. Then Peter opened his mouth. That works. Amen. All right, that's easy. I got this. All right. Okay. Most of us, it's open, put something in, right? For me, it's open, you know, no. Here we go. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. So as we go out into our community and we preach Christ, we ought to preach Christ, the forgiver of sins. Christ, the forgiver of sins. In Mark chapter 2, there's a quartet that raised the roof. You've maybe heard that song that has been sung by quartets. This man was on his bed, could not get up, and he had four friends. And Jesus was in the house, and they were trying to get to Jesus, and they could see no other way but to go up on the roof and cut a hole in the roof and let the man down in the midst of Jesus and the crowd. And so Jesus, it says when in verse 5, when he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He didn't say, rise, take up thy bed and walk at the first. We'll read it in a minute here. He didn't say that at the first. What was the first thing Jesus recognized? Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And it goes on, it says, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, and took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Hey, we ought to preach Christ, the forgiver of sins. He is the one that forgives us of our sin. The Bible says, For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. When the thief was on the cross and he looked at Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said to the man, Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know, just before that, the other man was railing on Jesus. And the man that was saved said, Hey, you be quiet. We deserve this. We're criminals. We did wrong. He admitted his sin. And Jesus forgave him of his sin. You know, the Bible says, Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. His blood was shed for us. He is Jesus Christ, the forgiver of sins. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Hey folks, we have a Savior that forgives. He's cleansed us from our sin. He died so that our sin could be paid for. He is Jesus Christ, the forgiver of sins. And as we go out in our community, we ought to preach Christ, the forgiver of sins. I can't forgive sins. You can't forgive sins. This church can't forgive sins. Jesus Christ alone can forgive them. Did not the Pharisees and scribes say, Who can forgive sins but God only? Jesus is God. Yeah. And he's the forgiver of sins. Aren't you glad that he washed your sins away? Aren't you glad that when you bowed your head and you prayed and you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, come into your heart and become your Savior, that he did? I am. You know what? Jesus forgives us. He gives us that opportunity to be saved and have forgiveness of our sins. It is a wonder that when this man was lowered down, sick of the palsy, he didn't say, I heal you of your palsy. He said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. We ought to preach Christ. And we ought to preach Christ, the forgiver of sins. Turn over to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Jesus said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Acts chapter 26 and verse 15. This is Paul's recollection of his experience on the Damascus Road. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. For what purpose? To open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This was Jesus speaking. Jesus was offering to the Gentiles forgiveness of sins. He's offering to those that know not him forgiveness of sins. So they can be saved. So they can have eternal life. So they can have a home in heaven and be joint heirs with Christ, with God in heaven. That's the purpose. That's his purpose. He has come to do the work of the Father. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what Jesus is for. That's what he came for. He had a work. He had a purpose to accomplish. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's Jesus Christ, the forgiver of sins. And listen here, folks, as we go out into our community and we endeavor each one to reach one this year, we ought to preach Christ. And we ought to preach Christ, the forgiver of sins. Go over to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Look at verse 26. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is in the desert, or which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself? Or of some other man. Then Philip, like Mr. Peter, opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Jesus. He didn't preach unto him some religion. He didn't preach unto him some membership in a church. He didn't preach unto him anything else but Jesus. We ought to preach Christ, the fulfilling sacrifice. We ought to preach Christ, the fulfilling sacrifice. Jesus himself said in Matthew 5:17, Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He came to fulfill. As he was there, sweating as it were great drops of blood, and said, Father, let this cup pass from me. He said, Nevertheless, not my will, but as thou wilt. And he had a job to do. Do you think it was fun or entertaining for him to be beaten about by rods? Or whipped with a cat of nine tails to the point of death? To have the very flesh ripped from his body? And after all of that torture and the plaited crown of thorns pressed into his skull and to actually beat into his skull, dragging the thorns down the skin and shredding it. And as they mocked him and spat in his face and beat him and plucked the beard from his face, they put a robe on him. Any of you ever had a cut or Brother Dart, the other day you skinned your knee, right? And I don't know, maybe your sock or your pants kind of stuck to that thing, and as you go to take it off, and that cloth has stuck to your wound. Y'all been there, right? You all got tears coming to your eyes just thinking about it. Those soldiers let that robe dry on the back of Jesus and ripped it off for fun, for torture of your Savior, Jesus Christ, the fulfilling sacrifice. That sacrificial lamb then was sent to Golgotha with a rough cut beam on his back, struggling, and the Bible said that his visage was marred, so he didn't even look like a man. Up to that cross. And stumbled and had to have someone carry it for him. And as they laid that beam on the earth, and they took those spikes and they hammered them into his hands and hammered them into his feet. Don't you forget, these Romans were experts. They were experts in death and torture and war. This is not the Boy Scouts. These were soldiers. And they nailed that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the cross. There was a hole dug over here. They picked up that weight of the man plus the beam. And they brought it over, and they very gingerly and gently placed it in that hole, right? Oh no. They heaved it up and thump into the ground. And as it did, could you imagine the ripping and the tearing of the flesh on those rugged nails? Hey, I'm being graphic and descriptive for a very, very, very important purpose. Do you read the account of our Lord and what He suffered for you? And when you preach Christ, He's a sacrifice. If you go back and read what the Ethiopian read in Isaiah, you read that He was a lamb to the slaughter. In Isaiah 53, it tells us about Jesus and His foretold crucifixion. He suffered for us. But because it was foretold in the book of Isaiah, He fulfilled that position as our sacrifice. He did. And He did it gladly. He did. He knew it was His purpose. He knew it was what He had to do. We need to preach Christ, the fulfilling sacrifice. Because that's what He was. That's what He is. Jesus, or Philip, began at the same scriptures. He opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. I can imagine Philip giving many better details than I could give you. He's a lot closer in proximity to the time that it happened than I am. And if he didn't see it with his own eyes, he certainly heard of it firsthand from the rest of the disciples who were there. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, we need to preach Christ, the fulfilling sacrifice. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 18.
1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Isn't that wonderful? We preach Christ crucified. Crucified. You know that in our world today and in religion so-called, we've got the only one that was crucified, buried, and risen again. Yeah, we have the only one. We got something they don't have. We've got Christ. We have Christ, the fulfilling sacrifice. He is. And he's the only one. Acts chapter 13 and 22, it says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." It was foretold, and it's been fulfilled. He is the fulfillment. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And we have the privilege to preach Christ. Open our mouth and preach Christ. We have the privilege and the responsibility to preach Christ, the fulfilling sacrifice. In John 19, verse 28 and 30, it says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." It's finished. It's fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We know we can preach Christ. Christ has been preached. He is being preached. We ought to preach him. Preach Christ, the forgiver of sins. Preach Christ, the fulfillment, the fulfilling sacrifice. Then go to Acts chapter 9. Okay, are you getting the idea that we ought to preach Christ? Oh yes. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Not only should we preach Christ, the forgiver of sins, and we ought to preach Christ, the fulfilling sacrifice. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 19. "And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then Saul, certain days, with the disciples, which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. There are three that bear record in heaven." Right? We ought to preach Christ, the Father's Son.
the Father's Son. It isn't this isn't just some imposter. This isn't just some prophet, some individual, some holy person. This is the Father's Son, this Christ. And that's who we ought to preach. Remember what God said in Matthew chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17? And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Father's Son. Hey, listen, it is of a great satisfaction and relief to me that the Father would send His Son to save me. What is man that thou art mindful of him? I mean, really. You ever sing that song? Who am I that a king should bleed and die for? Who am I? Who am I? Just a sinner. Why would the Father's Son die for me? Why would the Father even let His Son die for me? Why? I'll tell you why. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's why. That's why. In the garden, when God looked at His creation, man and woman, and what had happened to them, He already knew what he had to do. He already knew what had to be done. It was already set in motion. Could you imagine it? It's hard to imagine a timeless creature like God inserting Himself into a timed universe like this. But He's there looking at Adam and looking at Eve and looking at the serpent and what He had done and deceiving them and the choice that Adam made to take of the fruit and the destruction. And He sees all through history what was going to take place. And oh, how God the Father must have been grieved extremely great. Knowing that Jesus Christ. I mean, could you imagine Him looking at Adam and then looking at the picture of time where Jesus was whipped and beaten and crucified? And I mean, simultaneously taking place. Could you imagine that? God knew. God knew. And God also knew you and I and our need for a Savior. And He said, "This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. And we're going to conquer death and hell. We're going to conquer it through the blood of Jesus Christ, my Son, shed for you." We ought to preach Christ. We know the rest of the verse in verse 17. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Now, I stopped short of finishing the thought that Paul was saying here in Acts chapter 9. In verse 21, continuing, it says, "But all that heard Him were amazed, and said, Is not this He that destroyed them which called on His name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that He might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Proving. He proved it. If Jesus could change a man like Saul, he can change anybody. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hey, you, in just a few short days, these Jews realized that he was Saul no more. Oh no, this wasn't the same man. He's different. He's different. He is Jesus Christ, the Father's Son. In Matthew 17, verse 5, on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Bible says, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We've heard that before. We've heard that before. At the river, he came down and descended upon him like a dove and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Oh, but wait. The last three words in chapter 17. "Hear ye him." Hear ye him. He is the Father's Son that is to be heard. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hey folks, the Father's Son is to be preached. When Jesus commanded us, he said to go and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Hear ye him. The Father's Son. God is pleased with his Son. And we ought to listen to his commands and to his words. We ought to teach all nations. Teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That is our job as believers, to preach Christ, the Father's Son. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. This will be our last portion of scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, actually, it's 2 Peter chapter 1. I mean, I'm sure 1 Peter chapter 1 is a good passage of scripture, but it's not the one we want for right now. Yeah, that is a good verse. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 16. "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Now remember, I read to you Matthew 17. Okay, who's writing here? Peter. Where was Peter in Matthew 17? Yeah, he was there. Okay, now, all right, here we go. Eyewitnesses of his majesty. "For he received from God the Father, honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Hey, can I say to you today, as we preach Christ, the Father's Son, hear ye him. Yes. Did you forget? In the beginning was the Word. It is a living book. This is God's Word. And we ought to preach Christ, the Father's Son.
Folks, listen. As we endeavor each one to reach one, we ought to go out and we ought to preach Christ, the forgiver of sins. We ought to go out and preach Christ, the fulfilling sacrifice. We ought to go out and preach Christ, the Father's only begotten Son. He's Jesus Christ. He's the name above all names. Beautiful Savior. Glorious Lord. Is He? To you? Go out and preach Christ. And preach Christ to every creature this year.